Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Wait for it. Dairy.
Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
It is a Thursday on the Daily Tip on the MGM Network. Good morning to you. Great to have you along. Coming up on the Thursday edition, we start with our best bets from last night in Game 5 of the World Series. The Blue Jays pulling off another stunner against the Dodgers. In 20 minutes, one Detroit Lion is getting paid. We'll talk about that and find out if the Lions themselves land in our new power rankings at 640. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. We are one day away from Halloween. Good morning, Chelsea.
Ah, so the bowl has been set and all of the plans have been made. So I officially have my Halloween dish. And I still need to add one more thing because I have a bunch of chocolate, because chocolate was buy one, get one free at Publix.
Nice.
But I do need to add either like Skittles or Starburst or something that has like a fruity profile to it. So let me ask you, what's the best fruity candy?
Best fruity candy? Whoa. Mm-hmm. Came in hot this morning.
Yeah, the hard-hitting questions.
The hard-hitting question. I don't know. Starburst is a good one, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably my favorite. It's the first one that comes to mind, but I'm trying to think of other fruity candies. Oh, yeah, Double D just put in Sour Patch Kids. Strong.
Yeah.
Gummy anything.
Laffy Taffys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Laffy Taffy.
Lifesaver gummies. If you can find those, like, individual. I know they sell, like, big bags of them, of the Sour Punch straws. It's the fruity candy that's a little different, that when I was a kid, I always loved at Halloween.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Denton also coming in hot. Look at that. Bam, 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 bam.
Well, I feel like Denton's closer to childhood than both of us, so, like, he should have a better memory.
Also true. I'm like, does anyone remember a Hershey's Kiss? But Werther's? How about those? Any of you guys like a Werther's? I'm old school. I remember the old candy bars. But, yeah, the gummy stuff or anything Sour Patch related, always delicious.
I remember sour straws from the concession stand. Those were a dollar. Those were like the big ticket item. If you like work several hours in the concession stand, they're like, okay, if you work 3 hours, you can get some Sour Punch straws or whatever. And you're like, wow, maybe I should be paid money. But instead, I will take, you know, 3 hours of labor for a $1 candy.
What about Pixie Sticks? Are those still around?
You know they are. About?
Oh, okay.
We had to show the children how to do it, and I felt like I was showing a child how to do drugs. Because they see this straw, and they're like,
yeah,
what do you do with this? And you're like, okay, because they were the mini ones.
Okay.
And you rip open the top, and you pour it down your throat. And they're like, what? So you could see us with, like, the four-year-old of the bunch, where you tear off the top, and you're like, open your mouth, and you're just, like, dumping it in.
Right.
And it just feels weird, like, especially if you've never done it, because you're like, just pure sugar?
That's the thing.
And you're like, that's
it. And then you have to be careful because, of course, if you wet the straw too much, like by tasting it, then it kind of like tapers off the end and you can't get the sugar down your mouth. And what a concept for a child, too. Here's what a kid needs. Just put a bunch of sugar in a straw. Let them tear off the straw top
and then just down that sugar straight. But we used to do that all the time.
Well, at least they're not, like, trying to hide it. Because, like, a lot of this candy has the same amount of sugar. It's just kind of, you know, in the mix. But yeah, they're like, nah, it's just going to be the good stuff. No other ingredients, please.
Wait, Denton says, D-Day says these got banned in his middle school?
Oh, yeah, kids are snorting them.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you just take it, you put it on the table, you snort them. A teacher sees that once, like, this, we probably shouldn't allow kids to have these anymore.
I was like, just candy? And he's like, well, they were snorting them. I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
that's... Yeah, I mean, you know, the kids that have older siblings that then, you know, defile the younger siblings, that's they true. Bring in weird things to middle school.
Okay, that makes sense. I was trying to figure it out.
I feel like that's something you would learn on the bus. Like, I never rode the bus, but, like, the story and the lore of riding the bus, like, that's mm-hmm. where people, like, learn all the adult things. Because, like, there's no adult back there. So it's, like, kids at the tender age of, like, 6 are learning about, like, the birds and bees.
I have not been on a bus a lot, a school bus, but I do know when we made a trip to D.C., which, you know, a ton of kids do, right? They have the big trip to Washington, uh-huh. D.C. to walk around. And there was a kid, and he decided on a dare, because this bus we were in, this tour bus had a bathroom in it, that on a dare, he would stay in the bathroom from, like, D.C. to wherever we were going, like Gettysburg or something. So the entire time, he's just in the bathroom. And I was like, all right, well, this is, I don't know, you're kind of missing everything. But he wanted to win that dare, and guess what? He did. He won.
Do you ever wonder, like, where those kids are now?
Yeah.
And you're like, that guy can't be, like, a super high achiever, right?
I'll tell you
maybe
one thing.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's, like, a gamer or something. Like, some, like, random job where it's, like, he just fell into it. But go ahead.
I know. I remember exactly. I don't know where this kid is, but I know exactly what happened to him. Because this was it sophomore or junior history class? And our basketball teacher had a very dry sense of humor, was teaching the class. And so my teacher is calling out roll. And he says, you know, Jenkins, Holloway, Davis, Richard Schaus. And this guy closes his book and he goes, I'm 17. I'm joining the Navy. And he gets up and he just walks out. And I never saw him again. And we were all like, and my teacher waits and was like, well, don't know where our military now. Just kept going. And I've never seen that guy since. I have no idea what happened to him. Weird.
Ah, yeah. Well, good for him. At least yeah. he tried to help our country.
He did. He absolutely did. I'm sure he did. You helped us out last night with the dub. How about that?
Oh, this was a nice one. I didn't even get to see it. So I was coming back from the gym, and I got back at like 7:10. The game started at 7. So I'm like panicking to turn on the TV, and I'm like, okay, the Blue Jays score is 2-0. I wonder how they score these hits. Because my bet was Vladdy Jr. over mm-hmm. his hits, runs, RBI, line was set at 1.5. For almost even money at -103, I said, this is a good bet. Vladdy Jr. is the hottest hitter in the entire postseason. Yeah. And what do you know? Vladdy Jr. Hit a home run in the very first inning of this game to clear this total, which was a nice, easy win. I just wish I could have seen it.
Well, that's what highlights are for, but I know what you're saying. You want to see it in real time so you can watch it come mm-hmm. home. Nice job. I had the Dodgers last night. Whatever. Loss for me. Dogster. Rockets laying 5.5 against the Raptors. That was not close. Rockets win 129-121. So for the week, Chelsea, you are 1-1-1. I'm 1-3. Denton, we'll put it out there. 3-0. The Dogster 1-1 here on the Daily Tip on a Bet MGM Network. So let's get to it. Last night, in Los Angeles, the Blue Jays down the Dodgers 6-1. The Blue Jays coming home at +170. Total set at 8. The under hits. Blue Jays showing a ton of resolve by winning Game 4 and evening up this series. They take charge in last night's Game 5 by waiting exactly one pitch.
Here he comes. And off we go in Game 5 with a fastball that's hit in the air to deep left field. Call to the track. It's on the first pitch of Game 5. Davis Schneider into George Springer's shoes and doing a great impression.
Called courtesy of Fox, it's 1-0 Blue Jays, but only for a few seconds.
On the very first pitch, and now Vlad Jr. hooks a ball down the left field line. They've got back-to-back to start Game 5.
Unbelievable. Once again, that is Fox with the call. 2-0 Toronto, that is all the Jays need. On the mound, Trey Yesavage. Yes, Savage dominates L.A. Just 46 days out of his major league debut, he allows one run over seven innings, strikes out 12. That breaks the rookie record set in the World Series by Don Newcomb of the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1949, and the Jays one win away from a title.
And the Blue Jays are headed home one win from a championship. And it was a child who led them tonight, 22-year-old Treyas Savage, 12 strikeouts.
I didn't know how I expected this game to go, Chelsea, but it was not like this.
Oh, man. This is when legends are made, though, is in October. The unlikely heroes, and Treyas Savage certainly fit the bill. 12 punchouts for a 22-year-old against the most feared lineup in all of baseball? Take a bow, Treyas Savage, because you carried your team in this one. But here is the other thing. It wasn't just Treyas Savage. It was the offense that set the tone as well. Because obviously things are a little easier as a pitcher when you go out to the mound with some run support. So the Blue Jays bats continue to rake. And they continue to have Blake Snell's number. I remember listening to the press conference before this game where Blake Snell said, okay, I watched the film. I think I know what I did wrong. And I'm going to make some changes in this game. And then what do you know? The first pitch of the game, he gives up a long ball to Davis Schneider. This wasn't even the Blue Jays' normal leadoff batter, because normally it's George Springer, but he was hurt. So any way you slice it, I feel like Dodgers fans and most of baseball is probably sitting there with their jaw on the floor.
Did you see the video of Davis Schneider's father, like, in the stands? So I guess he was kind of on the upper deck, but behind home plate, and he's filming all that his son does. And so his son hits that leadoff home run, and dad's like, no way, no way, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me, like freaking out, which is just such an awesome dad moment. Oh man, that was so cool. And I didn't even realize about Davis Schneider. I was reading this. Maybe you knew this. Throughout the season, he emulates different batting stances from other players. Like, he'll stand at the plate like Aaron Judge one appearance. Then he'll switch it to Bobby Witt Jr. Then he'll go Giancarlo Stanton. And the stance last night was one of his own stances from the minors in 2023.
It's just bizarre stuff.
I know.
And it just adds to the lore of this Blue Jays team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking about this, Jinx. I think this is one of my favorite World Series in recent history. Just because all of the storylines for the Blue Jays. Like, of course, you look at the top and it's Vladdy Jr. And what a story there. And we see all the cute kid pictures and videos of him when he was just a little slugger chasing around dad. But also, like, the other stories where we have somebody like Treyas Savage, who's 22 years old, where everybody keeps talking about how he made his major league debut this year. He was drafted in 2024.
Oh,
like,
God.
What, a year and a half ago? He was at ECU. And now he's pitching against Ohtani and the Dodgers in the World Series and setting records, because not only did he set the rookie record for strikeouts in the World Series, he also set, like, I think he's the only pitcher to strike out 12 while walk none in a World Series game. And I had to look at that twice because it feels like maybe somebody else had done it, but it's not the case. So he is setting records not just as a rookie, but just as a normal everyday MLB player, which is wild.
And we got to mention Vladdy Jr. Good God, man. For all the talk about Shohei, and that is all deserved, there's no question about it. Vladdy Jr. in the postseason, so not just in this series, is batting .415 with 8 home runs and 15 RBI in 6 games. Like, he went cold for like 2 games. Outside of that, he has just been wrecking shop.
Absolutely. And it's the big home runs, too. It's not just like, oh, here's a little dribbler. No, he has made these massive clutch hits, and he's really led the team this year. And you talked about the speech that he gave his team after that 18-inning marathon loss. And so it feels like in every way, he is the face of this franchise. And so now you have to really consider Vladdy Jr. is now minus 200 to win World Series MVP.
He
was 10-1 2 games ago.
God, if you jumped on that. Also, I will say this. Now, this is fascinating, too. If you really think the Dodgers, because they got Yoshi Yamamoto going tomorrow night, and we know how untouchable he's been. He's facing Kevin Gausman, I believe. So If you like the Dodgers to win the final two games of the series, you can get Shohei at +250 and Yoshi at 15-1. So if you're a believer in LA, now is the time to jump in at plus money. It's just, it's hard to make a sell for the Dodgers just a few hours after what we saw in last night's game.
Yeah, I think it's hard to count out the Blue Jays for back-to-back games,
yeah,
right? I think that's the conclusion that I'm coming to. I was thinking about this because we made the case for Yamamoto, but the problem is if he pitches really well tonight, we'll have to go to a game seven, and then it's more opportunity for Ohtani to do things.
Yeah.
So, like, it'd be one thing if Yamamoto was pitching game seven and this was, like, the final game, but, like, if Ohtani comes in game seven, hits a home run, and, like, closes out the World Series, that is a tough narrative to overcome for Yamamoto.
No, exactly. Like, if the Dodgers had a chance to close things out in game six, so there wouldn't be a game seven, then you're like, all right, Yoshi's the play here. Like, I think maybe you would look at him and say, this is the guy that closed things out. But yeah, another opportunity for Shohei potentially to get in there and to do what he's done, you know, all season, all career. I totally see what you're saying. At +250, you know, even if you like the Blue Jays, I think just a little bit on Shohei at this number is not a bad idea. Game six tomorrow night. Dodgers a -140. Moneyline favorite. The Jays are +120. Coming up next to the show, Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson is one of the best players in the game, and now he is being paid like it. That is Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. This is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
MGM Network. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome back to the show. It is a Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, he's one of the best players in the game, and Aiden Hutchinson is about to cash. Okay, Chelsea, so we need to talk about the LSU coaching job first. Some of these Brian Kelly stories, I mean, they need someone. Brian Kelly is gone, as we know. Fired last Sunday evening. Have you gone into some of these stories about Brian Kelly? They're not very good. Whether it was showing up at a recruit's house and eating barbecue after he knew that he was leaving for LSU from Notre Dame, like he had three plates of barbecue and just like left, like he just housed a bunch of burnt ends and then was like gone forever. And then there's the one about when he was at Central Michigan. This is with Brian Flores and Robert Saleh, I believe, and they were assistants. And so Brian Kelly was having, this is a very popular story where Brian Kelly was having a like a Christmas party, and he sent out invites to these guys. They show up, and they were not invited to the party. They were there to park cars outside. And
I've
so,
heard that one.
Yeah. So they park cars, and then at the end of the night, they went and got the cars. They were valets for the night. They shoveled snow, and they promised each other, we will never treat people like that again. And then another one I read, this is from some article, this is all from X, where it was some camp, and some kid turns his ankle, and immediately Kelly looks to the trainer and says, get that kid off my effing field, just because he got injured. So, I don't know. There's not a lot of warm and fuzzy stories coming out about Brian Kelly. Those are just a smattering. But now LSU needs a head football coach, And Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry says Scott Woodward, the AD, is not going to be the one making the call.
No. I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee and they're going to go find us a coach. Because, wait, I want to hold on. One real quick thing on that. Because here's what y'all reporters need to do. Y'all need to start looking at who represents all these people, like these agents. You know what's interesting? If I'm not mistaken, Woodard's agent, Kelly's agent, the Texas A&M, they're all the same agent. Like, you realize if I would be, I don't know how y'all, how many sports writers we got here today? Like, just you. We should have a bunch. Okay? Like, this is ridiculous. Lawyers would be disbarred for the way these agents act and the way they're able to represent. In fact, there's no doubt, they may even represent some of the players now. Like, it's really time for the NCAA to put on some guardrails in college sports. Because, and it's fine. We don't need the guardrails. If big billionaires want to spend all that kind of money, no problem. But if I got to go find $53 million from Kemp, it's not going to be a pleasant conversation. I'm just telling you. I know. And I think that that's important as well. Y'all should start looking into that.
This guy's the governor? This guy is the governor of Louisiana. And suggested Donald Trump would make the decision before his own athletic director or the athletic director at LSU. This guy sounds like my Lyft driver just going off about LSU because he grew up a Tigers fan and he doesn't like the state of college sports, but he really doesn't have a clue. This guy is in charge of a state?
Well, and if you're an LSU fan, you're like, this is who's going to be in charge of hiring our next coach? It just doesn't seem great. Like, the ranting is not helping. Like, I think that's it. It's just like the stream of consciousness ranting about it. It just doesn't feel very intelligent. So I don't know. Like, maybe he'll make the right decision, but it just feels like it's a state of chaos where you have all of these high-powered people who are supposedly helping and hiring the next LSU coach, but then you hear stuff like this, and you're like, oh, well, that's not a good thing. And here's the thing. There's nobody there to check them. Like, it's the same problem that he was pointing out, that it's like, oh, all these coaches have the same agent. Well, like, who is checking you guys if you do a bad job? And I will say this about, like, Scott Woodward. Wasn't he the guy that also hired Jimbo Fisher and was, like, on the hook for that, like, huge, massive buyout as well? Mm-hmm. So, like, Scott Woodward is not, you know, innocent in all of this as well. Like, he has a point there that maybe he shouldn't be hiring the next head coach. But at the end of the day, this all feels like absolute chaos in the state of Louisiana.
I don't know what to say. I honestly, I'm not going to do it for the sake of our audience. I honestly want to listen to that soundbite again. Like, what in the world?
Who's here? Unpack.
Is that a sponsor? People here? You're looking at that. These lawyers will be disbarred. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? This is how college athletics work. You may not like it, but no one's getting disbarred for putting out information or for representing their clients or multiple clients. Does it increase the amount of money you might have to potentially pay? Of course, because like Lane Kiffin is a good example, right? You don't think his agent is going to leverage these openings to make sure that he gets a ton of money from Ole Miss or anyone else? Of course he is. I mean, right there in the SEC, you've got Florida wide open. You've got LSU wide open. Not to mention Penn State. I don't think he's up for Penn State, but the point is, this is the name in college football coaching right now. And so that's the job of an agent. You may not like it. You may not appreciate it because it's going to cost you. And this is also a guy, again, that you mentioned paid all that money to Jimbo Fisher. If you don't like the money that you're paying, look at yourself. It's not everyone else. It's not the reporters in attendance. It's you.
Right. And, like, think about it. Like, this was the soundbite that was released, right? Like, imagine how crazy, like, the inner ramblings were that weren't soundbites, that weren't at a press conference. Because didn't they have, like, a big meeting at, like, the governor's mansion? Mm-hmm. Imagine some of the crazy talk that was going on. What was it? Was it the night of the game or was it the day after? I'm trying to remember the timeline because it was a blur. But, like, imagine the chaos that was going on there when it wasn't, like, the soundbites they were giving to the media.
Right. What in the world? So who is LSU going to hire? Who do you think ends up being the guy? I don't know.
You want me to predict that
guy? I'm just curious. Like, if we're throwing names out there, if we're throwing names into the hat, so who might go to LSU? I was going to talk about this later, but I'll tell you something. It was Coach O yesterday talking about wanting to go back. Did you hear this?
As an assistant.
Yep.
He told ESPN. I would like that.
I would love it. For college football? Mm. Coach O said this to ESPN yesterday. Are you kidding me? I'm one phone call away. I just got to get my truck. I could be there today. He said he could be there today. Parted ways with LSU in 21. Won a national title there. Said Brian Kelly never embraced the state's culture, and I think he's absolutely right about that. What if LSU went back to Coach O?
It would be too good.
I would love it.
I don't know if we can dream that big, though. Because here's the thing, like, whoever they hire, do you think they just want to just give the job to Coach O, who hasn't been doing anything? Like, they probably want to bring in their own guys. So I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe that's a dream that's not going to be fulfilled. But here's the thing about Lane Kiffin, and I do think if you are thinking about sentimental ties at all, it feels like Lane Kiffin has more ties to Florida. Because I'm sure you've probably heard about why he wears a visor. It's because of Steve Spurrier. Like, Lane Kiffin has all these ties where he grew up idolizing Steve Spurrier at Florida. So it's one of those things where it just feels like Lane Kiffin to Florida makes more sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's so chaotic because Ole Miss is, like, winning games. And, like, the season's not over.
Right.
So it's trying to navigate all of this. And how long do some of these coaches or these schools want to wait around for a coach? Like, do you want to be twisting in the wind the entire rest of the season?
No.
And into January? But the thing is these type of coaches that you want leading some of these Power 5 programs don't grow on trees.
Right.
And, like, do you want to go to the lower ranks? Do you want to take a big swing on somebody who's a little less proven? Because I think sometimes that's probably the better move. But because they have such a reputation to uphold, they are nervous to do that. They want a proven winner.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, if you look at Penn State is a good example right now. And the smoke is they're going to hire maybe Brian Hartline, the OC at Ohio State, right? We don't know that yet. But who are the names we've heard bandied about? Matt Rhule, who's been at Baylor and Temple and Nebraska. You know, he's been around all these guys that have, you know, and Brian Kelly's a good example, you know, Notre Dame, and then goes down to LSU. Nick Saban, Michigan State, and then LSU and Bama. So a lot of these guys, you know, they end up just sort of coming back around. The NFL is very similar, right? Where they just recycle these names over and over and over and over. And sometimes your best place is to say, okay, it's easy to go with a guy who has proven he can build a program. It's easy to go with a guy who we know is going to win games. But some of these guys have ceilings. James Franklin has a ceiling. I think Matt Rhule has a ceiling. That's why he's staying at Nebraska. He's very similar to James Franklin, where he's won a lot of games, but against top-tier competition, he has faltered again and again and again. If you want to break through the ceiling and you're a team like Penn State, what you need to do is say, maybe we look at someone who hasn't been a head coach before, but who is ready for that moment.
Right. And you take a swing on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the buyout won't be as massive. Because, like, I don't know that much about, like, coaching contracts, but you would think these up-and-comers cannot command those type of buyouts that some of these established coaches can command.
Right. So I think it's a very interesting discussion to have. You know, do you go safe and this guy will win us a lot of games? But it also depends on where your program is to and what program you are. Like, if you're at Penn State, I keep going back to that because I think that's the one program right now that is more willing to take a risk and roll the dice because they're tired of hitting that ceiling. Well, the Detroit Lions have not hit a ceiling this season. Not at all. They continue to play well, and now they have locked down their guy, Aiden Hutchinson. A four-year extension worth $180 million makes $141 million guaranteed, the most non-quarterback guaranteed money in NFL history. His $45 million average trails only Micah Parsons of the Packers. Six sacks in seven games in 2025. in his career, 34 and a half career sacks in 46 games. So the Lions continue to lock up guys to be a part of that roster, be it Jared Goff, be it Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, all these guys that are key components of their franchise right now, been locked down over the past couple years, and this is another smart one.
Well, and especially because Aiden Hutchinson is only 25. Right. And he's somebody who is a hard worker. Like, all the puzzle pieces fit where he's not only super talented and physically gifted, but it feels like he has a great head on his shoulders and he wants to be at work every day. Well, obviously he's playing football, but like, you get what I'm saying.
Right.
But it makes a lot of sense.
Once a week.
Yeah, he'll show up. He'll bring his lunch pail. He'll clock in. He'll clock out. He'll show up to all the meetings. But I think that this makes a ton of sense for a Lions team that wants to win a Super Bowl. Because when you want to win a Super Bowl, you can't just build the pieces that give you like a good offense. You got to have something that will stop the top tier teams. And right yes. now, it feels like you look at maybe like the Eagles, but especially when you look at the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. What is the one flaw that Patrick Mahomes has? If his offensive line does not block for him, he looks extremely human. We have seen it in Super Bowls.
Yep.
So I think it makes a lot of sense to give, you know, some of these pass rushers a bunch of money because it does feel like they are the kryptonite for some of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And if you want to beat the best teams, you have to have something to stop some of these crazy good quarterbacks.
I was reading these quotes from Dan Campbell, and they're so awesome. Dan Campbell, he pulls a lot of slack, man. Pulls his weight more. Like, you could just make up Dan Campbell quotes and believe them. Like, if Dan Campbell came out and someone asked him about Aiden Hutchinson, and Dan Campbell said, he nips it in the bud, brother, you'd be like, well, he does. And I'm probably right. I love it. Yeah. What's that?
I saw something on TikTok where maybe this is too in the weeds for most men, but it was like, the question was, is this a Dan Campbell quote or a Lorelai Gilmore quote from Gilmore Girls? Because she has like these like, you know, state of, or like consciousness, like ramblings where she just says like wild stuff. So like, it was hard. Like some things you're like, that has to be Dan Campbell. And they're like, nope, Lorelai Gilmore. And then it's something about coffee. We're like, oh, Lorelai Gilmore loves coffee. Nope, it's Dan Campbell. So, an unlikely Venn diagram, but those two actually have a lot in common.
God, I would not have seen that coming. That's for sure. Right? Yeah. And I don't, like, I don't know that show, but I know enough about that show to kind of see, like, how you might put those things together. Very interesting. So, Lions, going to be good for a long, long time. I was talking to somebody last night, and they were like, man, what a world we're living in. The Lions are good. The Broncos are good. The Colts are good. It's like going back years and years. Coming up next here on the show, it is a Thursday, so before week 9 in the National Football League, we will tell you our latest power ranking. She's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. It is the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Gamble responsibly.
Welcome back. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us. Coming up in 2 minutes. You know who has the power? We do. We have the power. NFL rankings coming your way. I love that you got a text from Texas Roadhouse saying, help make us legendary. please, Chelsea. Have you ever gotten a personal text from a restaurant or, I don't know, an organization or something that seemed almost like too personal, like they knew you too well? I feel like this is becoming more and more of a thing because of these targeted ads. Like last night, what was it? I told you the story yesterday where I'm on ChatGPT, and as I'm listening to the radio, there's a story about ChatGPT and how being online too much with AI is not a good thing. And then last night, Catherine was talking about something. I forget what it was because we were having a couple drinks around the corner. And as she's talking about it, there's some sort of ad on the TV in front of us. And she was like, I don't know what's going on here. She goes, I think you're right about this simulation thing. You know, sometimes you get things that are a little too personal depending on your environment. Do you notice this? And sometimes it's a text too. I'm like, you don't know me this well, but then maybe you do.
Oh, absolutely, because your camera and your phone is always watching.
Right.
So, like, I get it. But sometimes it can be a good thing where it's like, you're like, oh, I really do like that dress. Like, you got it right, algorithm. Nice job. Where they show you things they think that you'll like, and you're like, man, you really nailed it this time. Great job. I will say that's one thing that the futuristic movies actually got right. Because going back to, I think it was Minority Report, where they have those ads where it's videos and they talk to you and it says your name, and it's like, hey Chelsea, come down to the dealership, we've got some new cars. And so we are living in that, like, we haven't got the flying cars yet, but the ads, we are good at that. If it can make people money, we put our time and energy into making those things.
I feel like, knowing you after all this time, you're very upset that we don't have flying cars.
I've mentioned it a lot on the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, which is okay. It's not a knock. I'm just saying that every time we talk about the future, like, where are these freaking flying cars? I've been waiting on these things.
I'm real mad. I'm mad about it because this was like a childhood, like, when you picture the future and you, like, watch the Jetsons growing up, you're like, flying cars, that's going to be a thing, right? Right? And it never happened. No, they're like, hey, how about self-driving cars that sometimes accidentally kill people in Arizona? You're like, no, that's not what I wanted. Yeah. I don't want cars that park themselves. I don't want any of that nonsense. I want the flying cars. Because think about all of, like, the traffic you could avoid. I don't know if that would be, like, a whole other bag of issues where it's like, okay, you need to fly at this level, 2,000 feet above the ground, and then if you're going this way. Because people in our town can't even do roundabouts. Oh, so, God. Like, imagine if there were flying cars, the chaos that would be in the skies.
Oh, yeah. How would you even patrol that?
You wouldn't.
I saw this thing I was reading about tech yesterday, like a total nerd. And Elon Musk was talking about this concept, which I don't like Elon Musk, but whatever. But he was saying that, you know, they're building all these data centers, right, for artificial intelligence. And he was saying, you know, if you think about it, what we could do potentially is we have all these cars out there, like all these Teslas, right? We have so many cars out here. And these are smart vehicles. Potentially, we could have so many cars, a fleet of cars, and because they're intelligent, you could draw a very small amount of inference or energy from each of these cars, right? This massive fleet across the globe, and pull all that inference together. And that's the power and the backbone that you need to draw the energy and to draw in all of the computing power to end up powering these chatbots and artificial intelligence. So ideally, you wouldn't even need these data centers. You wouldn't even need to build these anywhere. You can just use this fleet of cars all over the world and draw from the capabilities that they have, which sounds like a bunch of robots all over the world. Kind of terrifying.
I feel like this is where my head starts to spin. You can probably see it in my eyes. When you start saying, like, inference, I'm like, what does that mean? But, like, it does not compute in my brain that it, like, takes things for AI to work. Like, when people, they're like, make me an action figure, that takes energy. Like,
yes.
That doesn't cost nothing, and people do it just on a whim. So I don't know what this is doing to our environment, but I feel like there needs to be, like, more awareness that, like, that stuff, like, comes from somewhere.
No.
It's like, hey, do you want oceans on this planet, like, in 100 years? I don't know if it's oceans, but, like, I haven't looked into it, but, like, I wish we were more educated in the fact that, like, hey, maybe don't just use AI to make Stephen Hawking videos for people on Instagram.
That's a very fair point. Will Stephen Hawking make our top five? Probably not. I mean, right there at six, because he's been getting it done. He's been getting it done lately. I gotta say, those tricks, incredible. Let's do it, Double D.
Jinx and Chelsea tell you who has the power.
This is a power struggle.
After the weekend in the NFL.
Best team ever.
Best team ever. Okay, Chelsea, I'm going to start with you. Now that I give you my nerd talk. I think I was less concerned.
Inference.
I was,
power.
I was less concerned, and I'm sure some tech guy's like, he's got this all wrong. But my point is, it just sounded to me, I'm like, this sounds like robots taking over, but whatever. All right, who's your top five?
Ah, all right. So from that to this. All right, power rankings in the NFL this week. And usually I am somebody that goes pretty much by the numbers and I say, okay, I need to make a case based on the numbers to make this team my number one. Not going to be the case this week because we're going with the Kansas City Chiefs. The eye test still matters. And championships still matters. Postseason experience still matters. And hell, even if you look at some of these numbers, the Chiefs are starting to catch up. If you look at scoring margin in the NFL, Kansas City has rocketed all the way up to number two in the league. 10.4 is their average scoring margin, which is actually pretty impressive for a team that you think, oh, they're just going to slide by, because it hasn't been the case the last few games, and it's really upped their scoring margin. But again, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's Andy Reid. Now they have their full complement of weapons, so you didn't need any numbers to impress me there. But speaking of numbers, my number two team, you cannot ignore simply because of the numbers. What the Indianapolis Colts are doing with the best scoring margin in the NFL, and then you watch them. They are such a complete team. The defense is great, even away from home. You know, they have a great scoring margin, one of the best scoring margins in the NFL when they go on the road. Jonathan Taylor performing like an MVP. Danny Dimes throwing it down the field and making the throws when he needs to. So they are the number two team. For me, I've got to catch my breath. Number three, speaking of catching your breath, good luck doing that when you're trying to defend the Detroit Lions. It feels like the fastest team in the NFL now that Tyreek Hill is not playing currently for the Dolphins since he is hurt. Jahmyr Gibbs just feels like a cheat code. And this offense feels like it has been back to all things normal despite losing their offensive coordinator. The pieces are still there. You still have a veteran quarterback, and you still have one of the best motivators in the NFL, and Dan Campbell. Next up, we're going to go to a team on the rise, the New England Patriots for me. What we've seen from Drake May, and I don't want to, you know, overreact here.
Yeah.
But he looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. This defense is amazing. And Mike Vrabel, again, you have a great head coach that's good at motivating and keeping his team, you know, on the right track for the entirety of the season. And then finally, this is... feels like you just leave the light on for those teams that are contenders and have won Super Bowls. So I'm leaving the light on for the Philadelphia Eagles. I feel like I can't bump them out just yet. They've been out of my top five in and out, but the Eagles are still good. Is it going to surprise anybody if they turn it on down the stretch? No. So Philly is my number five team.
All right, very good. I'll go from five to one here. I'm going to start with the Eagles. I'm like you. They don't impress me, but I don't feel like they impress anyone so much as they do. They just win. And that's kind of their MO. Not a sexy team, but the talent is there. Defending world champions, blah, blah, blah. Even when they aren't great, they still just find ways. So I'm going to have Eagles at 5-4. I'm going to go Colts. They should probably be higher. I know you have them sitting here at 2. So I'm going to put them at 4. I want to believe in the Colts. And I think I'm probably with the public and not fully appreciating how good that they are. Look, this is a team that is sitting here, one loss. There are only two one-loss teams in the National Football League, the Colts and the Packers. So I like what I see out of the Colts. Let's put them at 4. Packers out of nowhere, coming in at 3. I am ashamed of myself. I forgot about the Packers for a hot second. And I think it's because they had that tie in Dallas. They had that one loss. But one loss is all they have this year. Jordan Love looked fantastic against that Steelers defense. Christian Watson is back. Obviously, with Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary and that defense, they can play with anyone. And they're only going to get healthier as the season goes on. So the ceiling keeps going up for Green Bay. And number two, Lions look as good as ever. Fine, you lost at Arrowhead. No shame in that. The other Lions, they re-signed Aiden Hutchinson for a reason. Those key pieces are locked in. they're as good as ever. And finally, the Chiefs. I mean, God. Good job, Chiefs. You're always the Chiefs, okay? Like, I may, you say, oh, he's a hater. Yes, but also I put them at number one. So even though I have Chiefs fatigue, like a lot of people, and even though I hear things on the radio like, and Patrick Mahomes has an issue with the spot, I'm like, God, of course he does. He always has an issue with the spot, issue with everything. But Kansas City is playing like Kansas City. They have been awesome, so Chiefs are number one.
Well, you don't have to like them, but you do have to respect them. And listen, they are the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now over at BetMGM. Jenks, I always look at my list, and there's always like one team you're like,
I know.
I probably should have put that team on. So now I'm looking at the odds over at BetMGM. The Bills have the third shortest odds to win the Super Bowl, and we didn't put them in our top five. Oh. Is it really that big of a concern, their defense? Because that's why I didn't put them in, because I just don't really trust their defense. And, like, they can beat up on the Panthers and whoever, like, as much as they want. I don't know. But it's still Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen can make up for a lot of things. So maybe the Bills deserve to be in there.
They probably do. But this time of year, I think that once we have a better idea about which teams are good and which teams are bad, we tend to focus on recent results, you know? And I get that. And the Bills, look, they just absolutely drilled Carolina this past weekend. They came off the bye week like gangbusters. At the same time, it's like, over the past couple weeks, they didn't look great. So, look, next week, Bills will probably be back in. You know how that goes. Coming up next here on the show, ooh, it's time for some Thursday night football, Ravens and Dolphins. We'll look at props, look at the game. Hour two is coming up next here on The Daily Tip. It is on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.